Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Talking Cop channel. We're here for another full-time match reaction. It has finished. Yep. Come on, Kev. You know what you're doing here. There you go. That's more correct. It's finished in Jurgen Klopp's penultimate game at Anfield. Liverpool 4, Spurs 2, the highest scoring game in the Premier League. Does not fail to deliver again. And Ashley, how are you? To proof of life, like a kidnapper. Before we have any hostage exchanges, the dog is still alive.
Yes, proof of life. I said he'd come back when we started playing well. I didn't think it was going to take this long, so I apologize. But he is here. And yeah, that was a great game. I'm so happy that we finally got to see a good game from them.
Yeah, it feels like it was long, long overdue, much like the dog going in for another spin cycle. And Kev... Your battery recharged after a nice week's vacation, and it looked like the Reds were slightly recharged as well, didn't it?
It's amazing what a difference a week makes, isn't it? 8 days. And normally, you know, we sometimes struggle after a bit of a layoff, but that was exactly what was needed. I think, look, the pressure is off. And the fact that they had a week, they could train, you know, properly do some proper sessions tactically as well. It showed. That was a really good performance, despite the hiccup for about 5 minutes. It was really, really good. Can't complain. Bracky would be delighted. His birthday today, and his birthday treat was to go to Anfield. And he was sat in the lower Kenny watching that, and absolutely delighted with life. He's made up. So, all in all, good day all round. Some good performances. Some players back. Yeah, it's starting to get real now with some of the songs that were being sung today. It's just want to finish the season strong now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the business that Brian O'Sullivan said, it wasn't Brian O'Sullivan. It was somebody up here. James LFC86, the eternal optimist, saying title hopes are still alive. I mean, mathematically, the title is still available to be won if Man City doesn't pick up a point for the rest of the season, and neither do Arsenal. But I believe mathematically now it's all but determined that Liverpool is going to finish the season in third place. So there's a sense of freedom, and that's what I said before the match was, like, I just want to see some smiles on faces. Like, I want to see the players out there enjoying themselves. I want to see Klopp not looking like a broken man. I want to see the crowd happy and up for it. Because if you can't play free today, then when can you take the shackles off? Because that's pretty much it. And I mean, Ashley, I'll come to you. I mean, in terms of the lineup, we go with Alisson, Trent and Robertson at the fullbacks. Kwanzaa goes again with Van Dijk. The midfield three, which I was very excited to see, of Harvey Elliott, Endo, and McAllister playing. And then Gakpo continues to go because he's the man in form. Darwin has to take the rest. It's Mo, Gakpo, and Diaz up top. How'd you feel about the lineup, Ashley?
I thought it was good. I thought it was nice to see Elliot getting a start. I think we've all been calling for that for a while. I think Gakpo has deserved staying in the team. I think the big headline was always going to be Mo Salah being back in the starting lineup. So it was nice to kind of put that to bed and just have him, you know, regain his rightful spot. So yeah, overall I was pleased. I mean, I think that's a strong lineup, and I think that you know, I think it worked today.
Yeah, I don't think there's any two ways around it. I mean, Kev, we were just kind of mentioning briefly before we came on about the midfield, and I said that this is a three that I really wanted to see because I can't exactly remember when. If I went back through my notes, I'm sure I'd find the games. But we've seen glimpses of Elliot Endo and McAllister play before, and it's a very undersized midfield. But I feel that they just dovetail together really well, and Spurs might have been the best game for this midfield three.
Yeah, they're an ideal midfield for us for a game where whoever your opponent is, they want to come and play. You know, they want to come out and attack you and leave you space to play in. I was more surprised by Van Dijk playing than anyone else. I didn't expect him. If you listen to Klopp's press conference, he said he was training for his first day on Friday. You know, he'd literally had the week off. So I honestly didn't expect him to start. But yeah, happy. I was happy with the 11. Good to see Kwanzaa getting the nod. Arguably young player of the year for us. Well, not arguably, he is. He's the best young player of the year. That midfield, you look at the Spurs midfield and you're thinking, okay, there's power there in Bentancur, Basuma, and Sarr, but they can be got at and they can be played around. And the way we started and the way they started, I thought we're in for a banging game. You know, it was set up for a proper game. And that's how it turned out in the end. You know, it started off the first 10, 15 minutes. And it was like, stay in shape, win the ball back in good areas, go on the counter. And you can see the way the midfield was designed, was set up to work. You get the ball. The one fear with Endo has been over the last month, 6 weeks, he wants too much time on the ball. He takes an extra touch when one isn't needed. Today, there was none of that. He just got the ball out of his feet, played it quickly, took it in tight areas, gave it off, and relieved pressure. It was exactly what was needed for today's game. Give the ball to the others who can do more with it than you can.
Yeah,
what you want sometimes out of a six.
On that point, Kev, because I think that's absolutely fantastic, is the difference between Endo having a great game and a mediocre to so-so game is that speed that he's on the ball. Like, do you think that's just a legs thing? Like, do you think there was just too many games coming too quick that he went through that patch where he was dawdling? Because when he first came into the team, we saw that, and you can kind of put that down to growing pains coming into the new team, not being settled yet. And then he went through that real good patch where he was fantastic for us in the six. And then he tailed off again. Like, do you got any idea why?
Yeah, look, for my two pence worth on it, Endo came from Stuttgart, where for the last 2 years, they were battling relegation. They're playing in a league with 18 teams, one domestic competition, and no Europe. He's suddenly thrust into Liverpool in a six, where you're playing four competitions in a season. It's relentless volume of football that doesn't stop. And I don't care who you are, whenever you come into this league, especially if you're late into your career, it takes some getting used to. And I just honestly think that mentally and physically, he ran out of fuel. And like the rest of them around him, there was he wasn't the only one. But you can see today how he can play when he's properly at it, where he's quick and decisive with his passing and aggressive with his tackling as well. Reads the game really well. But you're asking a guy to come in from a relegation battle to challenging and expecting him to take over from Fabinho and be on par with Rodri and Declan Rice, who've been in the league for years. It's not a fair reflection or a fair comparison. So it was good to see his performance today. Did really well. But yeah, that's just my two pence worth on it. I just think that the reality of relentless three-day break, three-day turnaround, as Klopp said in his press conference, the shortest turnaround of any club anywhere in the world for fixtures, it takes a toll. And he's not the only one who suffered from this, by the way. There's a few others. but it'll stand them in good stead for what's required going forward. If you know they're with us next year, it'll be good. It's a good lesson for where they need to be physically and mentally going forward.
Yeah. It was just nice to see, because I felt that midfield three worked together extremely, extremely well. I mean, Ashley, they showed a threat graph at halftime, and Tottenham's only bulge on that threat graph was in about the first 10 or 15 minutes. And I mean, we really didn't look like we had a touch of the ball for about the first 5 or so minutes, and it all felt kind of Groundhog's Day all over again, didn't it?
It was. I mean, they did start brightly. And I definitely had that kind of flash before my eyes where I was like, oh no, not again. But I think it was a shot in the third minute. And then after that, there was pretty much nothing for the rest of the first half, where there was just no attack from them whatsoever. I mean, it was just so refreshing to see the control come back into our side, and just like meaningful control, not just control for control's sake. I said during the Telegram, I'm like, who is this team? Like, where has this been for such a long time? And obviously we had a week off, and obviously Klopp had time to actually, you know, coach the team, which is what a radical thought. But it was such a refreshing sight.
Yeah, I mean, you have to give some credence to the level of energy. Like Madge Apple says, we played 8 more games than Manchester United have in 2024. That's a month's worth of football. People wonder why we've tired so much. They said during the broadcast that come the end of the season, we will have played 18 more games than Spurs. That's half a season's more games than Spurs. That's a lot of football. Like, I have this down as our 56th game of the season. So all told, we will have played 58 games this season. Like, that's a lot of football. If you go deep in the cups, you know, get to the quarterfinal of the FA Cup, you go the distance in the League Cup, quarterfinal in Europe, you're playing a lot of games. So having that extra break in there, I mean, that's all well and good. Project 5AM saying that Endo is a one game a week player now. And that might very well be the case. You know, he might just not have the engine to keep it up and play that position, considering how active you have to be for Liverpool with how we like to play those little balls in through the middle. And it was something that I thought that it showed some glimpses when we saw Stefan Bastic coming on in the second half of like, oof, you know, look at what's possible there. I mean, 7th minute, Kev, we just keep adding to the statistics. If we hit the post again, I mean, for fuck's sake, Zad.
That was a cross.
It was a cross, but he still hit the post. But it was right after that, Kev, I wanted to flag up that the press from the front today, I thought, was so switched on and so good. And to me, the biggest person involved in that was Harvey Elliott. Like the 8th minute, he cuts the ball out, starts a counterattack. Mo has a shot. It's saved by the feet of Vicario. The rebound comes to Elliott, and Romero blocks it on the line. But that was a sign of things to come, because our pressing from the front today was what we expect from this team, isn't it?
It was brilliant. And it's the one thing you can depend on. Spurs won't change. As long as Postecoglou is the manager, they will play out from the back. And with better footballers in the middle of the park, they'll be better for it. But with the players that they have in the middle of the park, they're going to struggle getting that ball from their defenders into midfield. And you have to capitalize on that. And that's where the coaching comes from. Having a week to prepare for a side comes, that you can work on your press, you can figure out your triggers. And, you know, Spurs will, same as us, we will do a routine when we go from Alisson out, or sorry, from Van Dijk to Alisson and out. Spurs will do the same routines. If you're working on it, then Harvey Elliott, like Lallana in years gone by, is a brilliant trigger for that. And everyone went for it. It wasn't a case of someone looking around, oh, is he going? No, everyone went. There was no thought. It was just go. And I'll be honest, I thought the first 15-20 was really good from both sides. They were at it. We had to be really on our game. And we kept our shape and were really narrow, forcing Spurs to go wide. And when they went wide, we capitalized on it by winning the ball in wide areas and launching counterattacks from there. And at the same time, when we went at the other end, we tried to control the possession while being disciplined, having players at the back switched on. It was first 20 minutes, I thought, was a really, really good game. It just, from both sides, I thought they played really well. Being the away side, they were aggressive. They were right at it. Bearing in mind the results that they were coming off. And we were right at it as well in our shape. As Ashley said, control and defending. It was massive today, where until the changes started to come, I thought we were so controlled in our shape and we trusted it. And that was massive, because you could tell in the last month, 6 weeks, the trust was evaporating. That I thought that part of the game today, I was more impressed with than anything. How much trust there was in each other for the players, and how collectively aggressive we were under press. It was so refreshing to see. It was exactly what we needed.
Yeah, it's again, it's another instance where it looks like you're reading my notes, because I have 15 minutes, good game so far. And then, Ashley, my next note is 1-0 Mo Salah, baby. And I mean, to me, a lot of this comes from some of the fluidity that we were seeing from the front six players. So you would see Elliot, every time he plays, he seems to be given some license to kind of drift across the pitch. And today, with Diaz on the left wing, ostensibly, and Gakpo through the middle, we saw a lot of them switching. And the goal comes from Gakpo going out onto the left and Diaz taking up that central position. And the ball ends up going from Mo Salah to Endo, who puts a lovely cross in out to Gakpo on the left-hand side. And Gakpo cuts in like we've seen him do before. He likes to do that. You know, that was kind of his stock and trade at PSV, playing as a left winger, of coming in like that. And it's a lovely cross, isn't it, for Mo Salah, who, if anybody needed to put some demons to bed after the last week, it was Liverpool's number 11.
Oh, definitely. And he needed a goal from open play. Like, it needed to not be a penalty. I was surprised that it was a header, because he doesn't score many headers. Nope. But yeah, I think that was all put on a plate for him by Gakpo. And, you saw, like, the cogs of these play, like, it was like the cogs of a machine. They play in these positions. They move into these secondary positions. And when they know where the other player is going to be, it looks like magic. It looks so controlled. And it's easy to see how, if that's just slightly off, suddenly it's just dissonance. And today it was like everything was just working in the way that we're used to a Jurgen Klopp side working. It's very, very fluid. And yeah, it was just a great goal to see, because you want Gakpo to get his flowers. He's gotten so much slack from our fans this entire season, and he's played really well. He's like one of the few players that's actually, I don't know, played well in the last month or so, which there's not that many to pick from. So I was really happy to see him get that assist, and I was just happy to just sort of park the Mo Salah issue for a little while and just let him score goals, get back to what he's good at, make the headlines about that and not anything else.
Yeah, it's even on the international feed, they were trying to build that up in the preamble to the game of like, oh, you know, Jurgen Klopp and Mo Salah having this set to in the last game, blah, 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 blah. I mean, Kev, that kind of puts it to bed. But as the little dear McGlinchey says, Emerson Royale was absolutely asleep for that goal, wasn't he? Like, they showed it on the replay. Is he checks over his shoulder and he sees Salah, and then he looks back to the right to make sure that he's in line for the high line, and then never looks back for Mo again.
It was a right back playing at left back, and it's not a very good right back to begin with. He's a wing back. He's a wing back by trade. He's not a very good defender. He's never been a good defender. So, you know, Salah was brilliant for the first half. You know, he was always the outboy. He held his whiff. And so did Trent, more importantly.
Yeah.
None. We really stretched Spurs at the back. And it was a brilliant cross, but it was a great run. You know, it was a really great run, and it was a good header, near post finish. And you always felt the first, if you give Spurs something to hold on to, they're a very good side who can play on the counter. But for us getting the first goal today, And I think we more than deserved it for the after we rode the first 15 minutes and we started, you know, we were still in the, we were always in the game in that while they had control, or while they had the ball, we were in control. But it was that kind of build-up, and that's what, it's a main thread throughout almost all the goals. The build-up play in the goals was fantastic. Cross was really good. Header, you know, you have to be scoring that. You know, if you're coming in on the far post, that's a bread and butter goal for your winger to be scoring. But yeah, Royal lost him. No surprise, because at the end of the day, he ain't very good.
Yeah, Royal with cheese, not very good. There's a couple of brilliant comments here. Brian O'Halloran pointing out that Friday was 19 years since the Garcia ghost goal against Chelsea in 05, by the way. And Scouser Pete, we figured out what the problem was. Scouser Pete says, I got to Istanbul for a holiday. We play well. It's all on me. And I mean, Scouser Pete, that's absolutely a perfect segue for me, because the footballprizes.co.uk prize for this week is all Istanbul related. The main prize you got is the Sammy Hippias signed frame jersey with the LEDs and all that goodness in it. But all the instant win prizes are all jerseys from that 2005 Champions League winning team. So if you're interested in that, help out a website that's helping sponsor the shows for you guys. Footballprizes.co.uk. Tickets are £3.95. A ticket, there's only about 399 of them. The contest closes on Monday. But if you're a Liverpool fan, you've got a spot in your heart for that 2005 Istanbul final Champions League winning team, and all the prizes this week are from them. So you guys absolutely teed that one up for me. After the goal goes in, Ashley, I thought we settled into just control in the game. That was so nice to see. I mean, it was great that we didn't give away an early goal, because we've done that against Spurs. They mentioned that Harry Kane scored after like 42 seconds a couple seasons ago against us. But we rode the early storm. We got the first goal, and then for the rest of the first half, we really exerted the control that Kev was talking about. I thought the Kop sounded great today. I thought all of Anfield sounded great today. It looked fantastic before the match. Jurgen Klopp's song ringing around. I don't know. It's such a bummer. Yeah, we've talked about opportunities dropped and missed and stuff like that, and now we're playing kind of unimportant football. The season's kind of dribbling out to an end, but like it was nice to see that the players are still able of controlling a game, at least in the first half, because we'll get onto the second half, won't we?
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know. You needed that feel-good atmosphere to come back into the stadium. Like, parking the fact that we've let things slip, and obviously it's not going to be the fairy tale ending that we wanted, I still want it to end on a high for Klopp of some regard. And like, I was watching him at the end of the game doing the fist pumps, and I'm like, that, like, I didn't know if we were going to see that again, because we were playing so poorly and he doesn't usually do it after we lose. And I was like, I was thrilled to be able to see that again. And it was so nice to be able to hear the crowd actually singing his name. I think I counted 5 times that the Jurgen song went around. And just be able to sing it with feeling and meaning, and have it be echoing the feel-good nature that's going on the pitch. And I think, like, that's the minimum that Klopp deserves to see out this season. Like parking everything else, it would have been wonderful if we could have added a trophy. But the minimum that man deserves is to go out with this kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, it was sung with smiles on faces, and that was at the start of the game. That was all I wanted. I mean, you've thrown up a stat here, Ashley, that is downright outrageous. Outrageous.
Well, it's so easy for us to get caught up in headlines and just forget. Like, you know, last week it was like, just sell Mo Salah. Everyone was like, get on the train. We're all going to sell him. It's amazing how clouded our judgment can get after, I don't know. I mean, what was it, like 6 games in a row that he really didn't have any impact whatsoever. And fair enough, he deserved criticism 100%. But he's still an outstanding player. And again, I don't want any sort of close, and I hope it's not the end, but I don't want any sort of close to his career to be marred by negativity.
Yeah, I mean, any close to Mo Salah's career, like, we've had players that left and we didn't get to give them the send-off. So I would say, regardless of how poorly handled his exit was, that Jordan Henderson deserved a better send-off from Liverpool. He deserved to stand in front of a fully packed Anfield, clap all four sides of that stadium, and feel the adoration from fans who deserve to give that adoration to him. I mean, 211 goals, 89 assists, and 347 appearances for Mo Salah. But Kev, before we get on to the second goal, there's a couple of penalty incidents that feels like it we need to go through. The first one is Cody Gakpo, who's taken down, and the second one is a handball. What are your feelings on these, Kev?
Yeah,
you did the show with Gab, where you guys talked over the Nottingham Forest incidents against Everton.
Yeah, the notes I made here, there was a nasty tackle by Bissouma on Diaz. That was definitely, you know, temperament, heads gone, 1-0 down, can't believe it. And he absolutely done Diaz. That was on 20 minutes. And then from 24 minutes to 29 minutes, the Klopp song was just ringing. It didn't stop. It was relentless, 5 minutes full on. Then I've got 32 minutes, not a pen. I think Romero got his leg there. And if anything, I just, that's not a pen for me.
But it's a pen you've seen given of Anthony Gordon, right?
It's a pen I've seen given, but for me, that's just not a pen. And you got to be honest with it. I don't think it's not a case that there wasn't enough in it. I honestly think Romero's leg was there. And Gakpo decided to kick it.
It's a pen you've seen, but it's a penalty that if it's not your team, you don't want to see given, right?
Yeah. You shouldn't see that pen. You shouldn't. I mean, and for me, I understand why if it was nil-nil and people would be up in arms, and if it was a title race and what have you, I can understand it completely. But for me, I don't think Romero did anything much wrong in that. You know, he got his foot in to get a block there, ball went. And he didn't move, you know. It was similar to the ones yesterday. I thought the ones yesterday were soft as you like, and they were given. It's just a weird one. But the way that half was petering out, after we rode the first 5-10 minutes, we were in complete control. We were in complete control of that half, and we played some brilliant football. You know, some quick passing, some quick movements. It was a delight to watch that. I really, really enjoyed that first half performance from start to finish. But yeah, for me, no, it's not a pen. The handball one I never thought was a pen anyway.
Have you seen the still of it? Because I didn't think it was a pen either.
Yeah,
I've seen a picture where he misses it completely with his head and he hits it with his hand. That's a pen.
I don't trust stills, but at the end of the day, I don't think his arms were massively outside of where they should be if someone is heading the ball.
He's doing moose antlers. Yeah.
No, if someone is heading the ball, that's where your arms will be.
It's one of those ones where you don't want to see it given.
No.
But you fucking see them given constantly.
I promise you, when you're heading the ball, your hands are in that position.
I'm Canadian. I'm all for moose antlers. But, I mean, I thought he hit it with his head. It was only after the match that I saw the still where it shows him completely missing it with his head and hitting it with his hand. And to me, that you have to give that as a penalty. Well, I mean, in positive terms, though, birthday boy himself is here. Happy birthday, Mr. Chrissy Brackenstein. He says, what an enjoyable birthday that was. Go to Anfield. The Reds win 4-2. The LFC women beat Man United to leapfrog them. Spurs are all hype. Happy birthday, Chris. That is indeed quite a good little birthday week, and it's quite the week for the LFC women. They're doing quite good. Ashley, what are your thoughts on the two penalty incidents?
So the Gakpo one, I think VAR called it an exaggerated fall, and I think that's probably true. Our forwards are very bad at falling for penalties. I think Mo Salah is also really criminally bad at, like,
are they bad, Ashley, or are they just not English? Because
I don't know. Maybe. I just think that there's like a way, this is going to sound really bad from my perspective, but I think there's a way to fall for penalties to get them. And I don't think that we're very good at them. And I don't know. Like, I see that specific example today with Gakpo, and then I compare it to what Havertz did yesterday with the leg drag. Like, he bought that penalty. That was 100%. Not, that was 100% a fabricated penalty. And I think Gakpo, you know, it was similar. I'll just put it at that.
I would say Gakpo's was probably more similar to Branthwaite's penalty that he won on Friday, where there was some contact. You know, the defender, I can't remember who it was for Luton, kind of had their arms around him in the penalty area, but he just throws himself to the floor. He just throws himself to the floor, and the referee's like, yep, that's a penalty. So it's the inconsistency.
Whether we like it or not, we are always going to be judged to a higher standard. I think as a club, that's just where we're at. I don't know if it's because of years and years of, you know, our players being tricky and in the box and kind of having this false narrative around them being clever or, you know, whatever. We just don't get the penalties that you see other teams getting. We don't get the soft ones. And I'm kind of just used to that. And the same thing with the handball. I did not see the still that you're talking about, so I can't comment on that. From what I saw in game, I thought it was head to ball. And if that contact didn't happen, I think maybe there's a discussion, but I didn't see it, so I can't really comment on it.
Yeah, Madge Apple says Jota would have won the penalty, as would Szoboszlai. I mean, those are the two instances. Yeah. I mean, the Jota one for sure would definitely get it across the line. And Eunice, this is very pertinent given the changes that are being made to how decisions are explained to us. But Eunice says, if the refs could just explain it after the game in an interview, then I could live with it. Now it's all up for interpretation. So hopefully some live in-game explanations help, right?
When we were doing the show on Thursday night, I think that's what's being proposed to happen from next year, is that they'll, like rugby, like cricket, and like the NFL, they will explain their decisions as they make them on the pitch, the major decisions. When the game is stopped for a VAR check or whatever, or when a VAR decision is given or not given, they will explain it on the pitch. And like I said the other night, people can like it or lump it, you'll know it. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. You know, it's like, I might not agree with the decision, but at least I'll know the reasoning why they gave it or didn't give it. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I'm gonna come to you on the second goal, Kev. But before that, our constant friend and menace in the chat, Arsenal for Life, is back in, who says, back in the title race. Ha, 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 ha. Arsenal for Life. I absolutely adore the fact that you are in here pretty much without fail for every one of our post-match shows. I honestly do appreciate it. I honestly believe that Arsenal deserve to win the Premier League this year. And I can honestly tell you, I'm going to enjoy it so much when you miss out by a point to those cheating sons of bitches in Sky Blue in Manchester, because you'll finally get to feel the hurt that we've been hurting for the last half a dozen years. So, I mean, you probably deserve to win the league, and you're almost certainly not going to win the league. So just enjoy it and remember all the shit you talked about Liverpool when we lost out on close title races in the past. But Kev, Andy Robertson does not score a lot of goals. So for Andy Robertson to get goals in back-to-back Premier League games, that is absolutely outrageous. I mean, the play in the build-up for this goal was some of the best play that I've seen from Liverpool in 2024, not just in this down period of the last couple of weeks, but it was excellent. McAllister plays an unbelievable through ball to Trent Alexander-Arnold. He puts in the most Trent crossfield switch to Robbo. It was like shades of the Shaqiri goal against West Ham, where it goes fullback to fullback, back across in. Emerson Royale with cheese cannot get enough head on the no, that's the next one. The shot is saved from Mo Salah, and the rebound comes to Andy Robertson, and he bundles it home. It's, you gotta love watching Robertson score, don't you?
Channeling his inner Jordi Alba. I've said it for so many years, he should score more goals. He really needs to work on his finishing, because he gets in great positions for a fullback. he really should be pushing 6, 7, 8 goals a season for the positions that he gets into every year, without doubt. But it was brilliant football. Great cutback. Some brilliant passing movement throughout. But the fact that Robertson was involved in the build-up and followed on, followed it through, just in case something might happen. And 2-0 at halftime, it was more than what we wanted. You know, we definitely deserved that. You know, for the performance that we put in that first half, we definitely deserved to be 2-0. And I was at halftime, that went in, I was just so relaxed, so chilled. It was unreal. I don't know, Mad. Mad is asking, what's his tally for Scotland? I don't know. And the thing is, for Scotland, the way they sit up, he tends to be more of a wing back. So he should get in better positions. But I think he has scored a few, but not anywhere near what you'd expect for someone of his ability to get into the positions that he does get into. But yeah, look, I thought all in all, Robertson had a really good game. Kulusevski never really got a look in today. And offensively and defensively, he was on it pretty much all game. He was a constant threat all the way through. And, sorry, Steve. Red Steve is even Reds.
Don't mention the scoreline.
Well, no, he's taped the game on VHS
it's a Betamax tape that they've just got the technology of Betamax in the county of Fife up in Scotland where Red Steve resides. So nobody mentioned the final scoreline. Well,
said it was VHS, but
it's on Laserdisc. It's on Laserdisc.
No, it's on a base 180 minutes VHS videotape that he's sellotaped the back of it off. If you're old enough, you know. To make sure that you can tape over it so that nobody can tape over it. So he's going to go home and watch that thing.
Oh, see, we had little tabs on ours. And if you pulled the tab out, you couldn't re-record
it. You couldn't record it, yeah. But the problem is, as soon as someone takes a tab out, what you got to do is get some tape, tape it up so you can do it again. Ashley Zetner, what are these two old fuckers?
Holy shit, we're showing our
hey, I had VHS too. Don't worry.
I mean, Ashley... That's the best halftime we've had since maybe not your first. I think your first time on with us was the 6-1 Sparta Prague. But I think since then, this is about the best halftime we've had since you've joined us on the full-time shows, isn't it? Like, we look great. 2-0.
It was so refreshing. I mean, I wrote down smiles returning to Anfield faces and Liverpool of old. Those were like my two comments about the whole thing. And I asked for last week. I asked for just like one more performance so that I could at least have one good show. Because God, it's been a slew of bad results. I was thrilled at that point. And I'm still thrilled now, even after the chaos of the second half. I still am thrilled about the way that it went.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to get to a halftime and not be wondering what kind of day surgery we're going to need to do at halftime to try to spin this result around. I mean, Red Steve is absolutely on fire with the nostalgia saying, is it live or is it Memorex? I mean, if you were wealthy, you could afford the Memorex tapes. I mean, come on, who could afford those ones?
That was all way above our pay grade.
I know. Obviously, things are doing better in Fife than they were over here in Canada. I mean, Ashley, we come out of the second half and the first note that I have written down was kind of a constant throughout the game, and I feel he might get lost in the shuffle of all the madness that happens in any 4-2 game. But the 46-minute Endo has a terrible giveaway in the middle of the park. He's caught on the ball. Spurs break the other way, and Jarrell Kwanza made another of a multitude of incredible defensive plays in this game, and I just thought he was – fantastic. Like, Jarrell Kwanza, I've probably said it 20 shows this season. I think he'll be getting close to about 30 appearances, I think, by the time the season's coming to an end. And pretty much every single time he's played, we've waxed lyrical about the performance of Jarrell Kwanza, and he continues to impress me. I thought he was fantastic, and it gave us the start to the second half that we needed.
Yeah. And it's not that he was playing against like slow players. He was playing against Son and even against Richarlison when the game had kind of gone to shit. He had a few really great interceptions, but particularly against Son, because he's a tricky, experienced player that I think all of us would have loved to have seen Klopp work with. And to keep him quiet, I don't know. Is he, for me, he's teetering on the edge of being first choice next to Virgil at this point. I think it's a discussion. At least next season, I think it's a discussion. And it's not necessarily through faults in Konaté, except for the fact that he can't stay fit and can't seem to get the rhythm needed. Because once he's in rhythm, he's fantastic. And I'm not comparing them. But in terms of availability being, you know, one of the most desirable qualities in a center back pairing, because you want them to be consistent, I think there's a conversation for next season where, you know, I don't know who's coming in, but he was spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah. It's he had one in the 46th minute and then the 48th minute again. It's not really a chance for Spurs, but it's where an inexperienced center half could get caught out. And he sweeps around the back. He picks the ball up on his left foot. He switches positions with Virgil. He cycles the ball again. And then actually we go down the other end of the field and we make it 3-0 within 5 minutes of the restart of the second half. Diaz crosses the ball to Mo Salah. Emerson Royale, who is, I mean, the Spurs equivalent of this show, is having a eulogy for Emerson Royale with cheese, because he is at the heart of so much of what went right for us today. But he wins the 1v1 with Mo Salah and then just completely falls asleep to the fact that there's other players on the pitch besides Mo Salah. And Harvey Elliott is there like a fucking lightning bolt. And he puts in a lovely back post cross that I'm screaming, don't touch it, Gakpo, leave it for Diaz. And all the fool of me, right?
I mean, and Gakpo, he got up so high. I mean, he completely outjumped Romero there, who, I mean, he's decent in the air. But we've had this conversation. Gakpo's a tall guy, and we're like, well, why doesn't he get up more on crosses, and why doesn't he defend better at set pieces? So to see him get up high and again just getting the goal that he rightfully deserves for the performances he's had. And I don't know. I think again it was made by Elliot. You know, it was, again, we were talking about him being the shining light. That was another example of him being alive to everything. Like, there, I don't know if he had like a moment of downtime for that entire game. He just felt like he was on it the entire time, and he knew that that possibility was there, and, you know, picked up the ball, had that great cross. And I don't know, just again it was refreshing just to see the ball hit the back of the net, to be honest.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, that brings up 7 goals in the Premier League for Cody Gakpo, 15 in all competitions, which goes to show you how much of a Takumi Minamino cup monster he was with the goals this year, the fact that he's got 8 in the cups and 7 in the league. But, I mean, Kev, to me, the third goal and the fourth goal shows, because we've had it with all the chopping and changing that we've had the last 3 or 4 games, even when you were off on vacation, we were making a ton of changes to the starting lineup, like 5-6 changes, more than Klopp has ever made in consecutive Premier League games again and again. And you're hoping for one of the players that's being given the nod to come into the starting 11 to just grab the bull by the horns, grab it by the scruff of the neck and make it theirs. And Harvey Elliott is a player throughout the season, you know, at the start of the season, everybody's going, what an impact substitution, what an impact substitution. And he was given a start today. And to me, he grabbed the bull by the horns today, because for the second goal, or for the third goal, and obviously for his goal, the fourth goal, he steps up. But throughout the entire game, I thought he was just a constant menace and driving us from the front.
He was kind of like the Energizer Bunny. He just kept going and going and going. I mean, Chris sent me a text before the game started. Soonest used to have a saying, find the dope, and in this case it was Emerson Royale, and they literally victimized him for the whole game. You know, he was brutally bullied for the entirety of that game, and he got into the clash with Salah, won the ball back, and his pocket pinched, but it was brilliant read by Harvey. Look, he's going to turn out this way.
Yeah,
all I got to do is
too hard, did he? Like, he could have just dove into the tackle, but he waited for him to turn.
Yeah, all he's got to do is time it. You know, time it, and you're there. And Kota Gakpo, 6'3", he used every sinew to stretch to make sure he got on that header, because Diaz was right behind him. And I was looking at, when I saw the ball coming in, I was like, if you don't get this, you're going to touch it and you're going to take it away from
Diaz. Take it away from him, yes.
So if you're going to go for it, get it. And he did. It was a brilliant finish. And the thing is, the one thing about those two today, the way they interchanged their positions, Diaz and Gakpo, they interchanged on that wing brilliantly. It was kind of like Firmino and Mane used to do it from time to time, depending on the opponents. But when they did it, each committed to the position that they were in fully. So if Gakpo found himself out on the wing, he committed to playing the wing fully. He tracked back. He did his defensive work properly. And when they flipped around, you know, he'd be going through the middle. The same with Diaz, doing exactly the same. If he went through the middle, he was looking for that ball in behind, looking for Virgil or looking for Harvey or anyone to just chip it through. McAllister the same. And it was brilliant to see. But that goal, they started the second half pretty well again. You know, so Kwanzaa did that, you know, he done it on the cover twice with Son. First was brilliant because how many times have we seen it this season where someone gives a ball away in the middle of the park and they're not expecting to give the ball away their defenders and they're caught out?
And they Kwanzaa, score, yeah. The team scores against us, yeah.
And it's usually that kind of goal that we give up. So Kwanzaa was alive to that both times. But yeah, look, Harvey, brilliant, brilliant cross, great finish, and 3-0. I was relaxed at 2, but at 3-0, I was like, right, enjoy this now. You know, and we did. You know, we went into enjoying football mode for the next 20 or so minutes. And it was some of the football that we were playing from, I think probably from about 15 minutes up until the changes.
The substitutes.
Was as good as you're going to see from us, as fluid as you're going to see, and as aggressive as you're going to see from us at any time this season. That was the best part about that performance today, is how aggressive we were in tackling, in the press, commitment to making, when we went on the attack, the commitment to going for it, you know, and we got the rewards for it with the goals, you know, and at 3-0, you're like, okay, let's just see where this takes us now. But yeah, brilliant cross, dynamite header, dynamite header.
Yeah, it's, I know that Gakpo is a big unit, but I didn't know that he could get the hang time like that. Like, it wasn't quite a Cristiano Ronaldo in his pomp or Haaland's, I think it was his second goal yesterday, where they just seemed to, like, pause at the top of an incredibly high leap and get power on the ball, but it's all well and good. Ashley, we need to pause proceedings because the banner lord of Fife himself, the king of Betamax, is wondering what you're drinking.
It's iced tea.
Yeah, those are not pickled onions. Yeah, apparently, they don't have
ice cubes.
Yeah, they don't have ice cubes up where Red Steve lives. He's extremely, extremely confused by that. I mean, yeah, I mean, Kev, you mentioned that we played just so excellently for a good 40, 50 minutes there. Spurs don't have their first shot on goal until the 54th minute. Pedro Porro does well, gets a good cross in. Brendan Johnson gets a good stooping header on it. Allison Becker, lovely save. That's their first shot on goal. Shortly thereafter, Kwanzaa again, one-on-one against Son in our box. No room for error against an experienced player that's, you know, shared a golden boot in the Premier League before, and our 20-year-old defender is standing up and making himself counted. And Ashley, I will never make excuses for enjoying watching Harvey Elliott succeed for Liverpool Football Club. I love the confidence that he has in himself to come out in preseason videos and say that his goal for the season is, I think he said 15 goals for the season. And it was like, Jesus, Harvey, dial it in, bud. Like, you're not going to get 15 goals. That's a gorgeous goal for him. And you can just see, I love how much it means to him to score for Liverpool. It's brilliant, isn't it?
There's something about him that just, he's like watching a fan get their dream granted by like a genie and they get to go on a pitch and play for their childhood club and actually be good. And that's to me what Harvey Elliott is like, he's a little kid that's got his dream job, like just delivered to him. And so when you watch him do well and you watch him score, it's like, there's just this childhood wonder and excitement that happens when I see it. And you can see it in The Cop too. Like they were like, I know that The Cop is always excited when there's a goal scored, but when he scores, for some reason, it's like they're giddy. It's like a childhood excitement that you see. And it's just because you know that it means something to him. And it's very similar to when Trent scores. It's, you know, he seems, it's almost like a local thing. And it's just, that was such a good goal. And it was funny because he was interviewed after the game and he said, the interviewer said, oh, like you must have known the minute it hit your foot that it was going in. And Elliott's response was, oh, honestly, I thought it was going over.
Yeah, well, I saved the quote. You threw it in here earlier. So run us through it.
Yeah, so his quote basically said, I thought it was going over, to be honest. I saw it drop at the end. It's about time I scored a goal. I think I've hit the bar and the post in the last few games.
Yeah, I mean, he also says there's motivation to go out there and put it right. We know we've not been good enough in the past few weeks and we wanted to put it right. And that's really what it feels like. And yeah, I don't know. Like maybe it's just something when you're a fan that just makes it that much better for it. But I mean, Kev, that goal, I was getting it a little bit muddled when I was talking about the second one, but this just felt like the prime. Damn. We're getting to the end of the Jurgen Klopp era, Kev. And there is something about a goal that comes from Trent Alexander-Arnold smashing the ball right to left to Andy Robertson, who immediately crosses the ball back across the box, and it ends in a Liverpool goal that just feels right. Like, it just feels right. I don't know what the prototypical Liverpool goal under Klopp or the prototypical Mo Salah goal looks like, but that Trent Robertson-Mo movement is at the heart of it, and it paid off again.
Yeah, look, I mean, at the end of the day, it was a postage stamp finish. It was a world-class finish.
As somebody that works for the Postal Service, that is a return address finish. That's not where you put the postage stamp.
Fair enough. In mirror
balls. They were calling it that on my broadcast, and it was like, if you put the postage stamp in the top left-hand corner, that's got to be handled.
In the mirror universe, that is a postage stamp goal. And it was the fact that Mo laid it back to him, he teed it up. It was a brilliant finish. And, you know, it goes 4-0. And it was party time. You know, it was carnival football. He's got that in his locker. We all know that he's got that in his locker. He's still on it. As someone said in the comments, I think it was Claire said in the comments, he's 21. Do you know what I mean? He's been at the club for a while, but he's still only 21. Same as Ryan Gravenberch. There are still kids learning their trade. You know, they're going to get so much better. I mean, it bodes well for the future that you can build your sides around these type of players, this quality of player that can offer you so much ingenuity with the ball at his feet, ability in an engine to keep going and be that clinical from outside the box that is a constant threat. So, and it opens up space for everyone because defenders have to come out to him. Defenders have to commit to him. They can't afford to leave him with that amount of time in the box. He was man of the match, hands down. But he was everywhere. He was absolutely everywhere. He was brilliant today. And his performance merited that quality of goal. You know, that goal was a reflection of the performance that he put in. Absolutely made up for the kid.
Yeah, I mean, and he followed it up. I mean, things all started to kind of go pear-shaped for Liverpool after the changes started to be made on the hour mark. But after Bissouma got his yellow card on 63 minutes, Elliott did one of those presses from the front, like the Robertson one against Manchester City, where he just keeps going and going and going and going. Yeah. And the crowd just, like, it's like this cascade of noise where everybody just appreciates your effort and you give more effort and they appreciate it even more and even more. And It's, yeah. I mean, the fact the kid just turned 21. I mean, like you mentioned earlier, Kev, and somebody commented off of it that Kwanzaa is our young player of the season. And they went, well, surely Elliott's the young player of the season. And that's probably us forgetting how young he is.
Yeah.
Where you just like, hey, Harvey Elliott's not the young player of this. It's like Harry Kane winning Premier League young player of the season, you know, when he's 23.
He's established. Harvey's established. I mean, at the end of the day, you take those kind of players out of it. At the end of the day, I just think that Kwanzaa has been performing on a consistent level for so long this season. I mean, I loved it. If you go back to the very, very start when Joel Matip got injured and Kwanzaa's first interview, and he literally sharpened his elbows and said, I love Joel Matip. I want his position. And everyone was sat there like, who's this guy? Do you know what I mean? He knew. And Jurgen Klopp and the coaching staff knew because they didn't go and do anything in January. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the kid's got it. The kid has got it. You know what you're looking to bottle it? He's got it. This kid could be the best English centre-back for the next decade if he carries on. And I don't care what Branthwaite does. I think Branthwaite is a brilliant defender, don't get me wrong. I think Caldwell has the ability to be an absolute top-notch centre-back, but so does Jarrell Kwanzaa. He's got everything to be the best modern-day centre-back of the next decade.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Ashley, you've thrown up the stats here for us that kind of lend credence to what Kev is just saying right there, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I just wasn't expecting this from him at the beginning of the season. Like, I feel like we pulled him out from underneath some sort of hidden bunker because, like, he wasn't even on the radar of young players, at least for me. It feels like when you find like an extra $20 or 20 pounds, like hidden down the back of your couch and you're like, oh, like, where did this come from? It's like that. But like, he's going to save us what? 40 million, 60 million easy. Like for a young, well, I don't know what he's worth now. Like, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's that, and it's his composure and like the way that he came out post, like he made that error in the Manchester United game and he came out recently and he talked about how he was going to learn from it and not let it phase him. And I was looking for the quotes and I don't have them off the top of my head, but it was just, I don't know. It's like the mentality is there as well, which you don't usually see from players that young, where he's very calm. He's very focused and it feels very baby Virgil to me. Everything about him feels very baby Virgil. And it's just, I don't know. Like I said, it feels like we struck the lottery by just plucking him out of some place that I just didn't know he existed.
Yeah, it's a mad jap. I had to scroll back up to find this comment she made about a half hour ago. She says, Kwanzaa got over his mistake at Old Trafford quicker than I did. Great temperament. And like you're talking about how it came out of nowhere. I mean, to me, it's like your kid just starts spending way too much time in the garage and you're like, I don't know what he's doing out there. And then you go and you look one day and you're like, he built a fucking Rolls Royce. Like just without us noticing, like, because like that term Rolls Royce defender gets thrown around a lot, but he still has to prove it. It is early. So let's not, you know, put the cart ahead of the horse or anything like that. But every time you watch him play, Kev, he's got the calmness about him. He's got the composure about him and he made a fucking massive error in a big, big game on a big, big stage. You know, the biggest game in English football, Liverpool against Manchester United, and he fucked up. And it's like it never happened.
Yep. I mean, at the end of the day, he's done everything possible to keep himself in the new manager's thoughts as if what type of centre-back am I going to be looking for rather than we need this guy to start. He's done everything possible. You know, there's got to be a conversation that's going to happen in the summer, but couldn't be happier for him. I knew about him because of where he went on loan.
Yeah, the interview with Twentyman, right?
Yeah, there was an interview that was done with Jeff Twentyman, who's a BBC sports reporter in Bristol, who's been in covering the Bristol Beat. He was an ex-Bristol Rovers player.
We've got to give Joey Barton credit here, don't we? And that's terrible.
Well, he was a Jeff Twentyman was a Jeff Twentyman came out of the Liverpool Youth Academy in the 70s, went and played his trade in Bristol for a good part of his career, played for Bristol Rovers, didn't work for the BBC. And he did an interview with, I don't know if it was with The Echo or someone like that, where he was talking about this kid saying, you guys have no idea how good this kid could be. So that perked my ears up to him. So I was aware of him. But look, the future's bright for him. You know, I mean, the changes came and it was inevitable because as soon as Spurs, I said it to you guys before we came on air. If this is a Spurs podcast, you're absolutely tamping because the changes that Spurs made had a massive effect on the game. And you could tell it was exactly what Spurs needed. Exactly. They needed to get Brennan Johnson out onto the right. They needed to get Son away from the middle and out onto the wing. And they needed someone like Richarlison who could threaten going in behind and cause a problem. And they needed someone in front of them to pick passes. And lo and behold, the changes happened and it had an almost instant effect because they literally evolved into a real problem, you know, and it took us a while to adjust to it. And when we did, it was fine, but it cost us a bit while we were adjusting, you know. I mean, their first goal, Richarlison tapping is literally, I think we're going to get used to seeing this type of goal because it's actually an Arne Slot special. He loves these type of goals. And I think Joe Gomez is going to get pelters for it, but I honestly don't think there's nothing he can do about it. Brennan Johnson is probably one of the fastest players in the league, and I don't think Joe Gomez on his best day is catching him. He held the line. It was a brilliant pass into Fine Johnson. Great cutback, tap in, goal. Good finish from Richarlison as well. And like, oh, it was like I was deflated because I was like, we could really do with a clean sheet, you know what I mean? But it's like, ah, 4-1, shit.
What's a clean sheet?
You know? I know. It was one of those things I vaguely remember Alisson getting awarded for a while back. But yeah, I don't think anyone could have done anything about that goal. I just think from a Spurs point of view, it was a great pass to Fine Johnson. It was brilliantly timed run. He got the run on Gomez. And once he got the run on anyone, he's not going to get caught. The ball was perfect, cross was brilliant, and the finish was really tidy. Took Alisson out of the equation straight away. And, you know, fair enough. 4-1, all right, no bother.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really, we went from 4-0 to the changes get rang, and it looked like Liverpool were having a 30-minute competition to throw away a fucking 4-goal lead. I mean, in the end, we get there. It's a bit wasteful. I appreciate the fact that we've already done an hour talking about this game, but it's kind of fucking nice. The last couple of post-match shows, we've had absolutely jack shit to talk about. So not that that was aimed at Gav, but I mean, we do have another show coming up in like 2 hours and 10 minutes or something like that. So we can't go too
long. We're not going to dilly-dally too much longer now.
No, but I mean, like, actually, it's unfortunate. Like Kev says, like, Richarlison comes on and has the most Pyrrhic performances in terms of like a goal and an assist, and we still lost by 2 goals, just like his goal last season where he salvaged the draw and then we went down and we immediately scored the winner in the 4-3. Like, it wasn't great mentality from Liverpool after we went 4-0 up, but this is a game that doesn't mean anything, right? Like, if there's ever a game where you can kind of brush off giving away 2 cheap goals, being 4-0 up, today's the day, right?
Yeah, and there were so many changes. I mean, that was Bacetic's first Premier League appearance for the entire season, which, yep. I mean, we haven't even touched upon, which is great because he's alive and he's back on the pitch. But, I mean, he has no senior game time. So that's going to have an impact. And taking off all of these players that have had rhythm for the first 60 minutes, you're not, I don't know. I mean, it was natural. And I don't want to be too harsh on them. I think that there's probably something to be said about the fact that, you know, we can't keep our concentration for an entire game. And I would really love for that to happen, because I do think that that's been indicative of the whole season. But yeah, in a game that doesn't mean much, I don't think it needs to be hyper-analyzed for the negatives.
But I mean, being a Liverpool fan channel, there will be some people that will want to go over. At least we had two chances after they pulled it back to 4-2.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, the one for Mo in front of the net. I don't know what he's doing. That is a man that his right foot is mostly for standing and scoring that amazing goal against Manchester United in the 7-0 when we beat Manchester United 7-0 at Field last season. What was he doing? Poking it with his right foot? Just smashed it with your left foot?
I have no idea. The commentator on my stream was trying to give excuses. They were like, oh, well, maybe he got distracted by Skip on the line. And I'm like, no, he just completely fluffed it. And thank goodness that he did score earlier in the game, because if that was the lasting memory from the game, we would be having a very different Mo Salah conversation right now. Yeah. And at least we can laugh at it. I'm grateful that we can laugh at it, because that was horrible.
Yeah, the joys of winning 4-2. And then Kev, the final talking point of note, the 7th minute of added time. How much are you slaughtering Darwin Nunez for not putting the icing on the cake at 4-2?
Well, not really. You know, I thought it
came to him quick. Like, I saw people going, yeah, oh, you just go around the keeper there. But I thought it was a lot more bang bang than that.
Listen, it's not a video game, and you're not going to ball roll the keeper and do a trick and, you know, whatever. The keeper got out really quick and forced Darwin to make a decision really fast. But at the end of the day, you'd hope that he would go around the keeper. There was another instance where Salah scored, was an offside, but it was a very minimal offside. He didn't need to be going as early as he did. But saying that, Romero defended it really well. If you watch before the pass was made to Darwin, Romero just steps out. You know, he doesn't have, you know, it's literally recognize who is against you. Give yourself half a yard. You're faster than Romero. You don't need to be in line with him. If it's Van de Ven and you're on the other side, you need to be really tight.
Yeah,
and you
really steal need that to half be, yard. I mean,
yeah, you need to be going. You know, you need to time your run perfectly. Not so much Romero. And I thought Romero did all right today in large parts. He attracted the ball, made some brilliant blocks. And if you could curb his tendencies for red cards, he's a very good defender. You don't win World Cups if you're not a good player. But that was a really well-worked move that was just marginally offside. And the fact that he was only on the pitch for 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes, you could understand it. But all in all, you know, that was a brilliant performance. It's not, you know, with 5 minutes of madness where they scored 2 goals after we made a load of changes, you know, you could almost discount that. I thought we could have scored another one or two in the last 15 minutes as well. So, all in all, it goes to show what you can do against Spurs when it's 11-11.
Yeah. Yeah, it really goes to show just how bullheaded and single-minded Big Ange.
Oh, Thor makes a great point. Thor makes a great point. Trent's audacious.
Oh,
half-volley. That just,
I mean, he ended up missing by about like 10 feet on the chip, but it would have been truly, truly outrageous.
No, audacity just to see it. Just the ability to see it in the first place. It wasn't like Beckham. When Beckham did it, it was like you could tell a mile off that he was going to do it. This came at Trent really quickly, and he was so close.
I thought he skewed a crossfield pass. Like, the way he hit it so quickly, I thought he saw somebody on the left wing and he was trying to switch the play, but he was 100% going for goal.
I saw it and I thought, what are you doing? Because there, I could see, it was the first thing I looked at. There's nobody out on the wing. What are you playing at? Giving the ball back. And then, fair juice. That would have been just like icing on cake for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad that you marked that one up because that would have been absolutely brilliant. So we've, again, gone quite long here, and we got another show coming up in 2 hours. So I'm going to fly through some of these real quick. Just to Little Deer McGlinchey says, fair play to you lads. And last, for putting on a show, Harvey, brilliant game, man of the match for me. I think we can all agree on that, right? Harvey Elliott, mm-hmm. deserving man of the match. Yep, absolutely.
Kwanza gets an honorable mention.
And
as does Endo.
You stole the words out of my mouth with that, Gakpo, I thought, Kwanza. And Gakpo as well. Yeah. Yep, Madge Apple.
No one had a bad game.
Nope, Madge Apple pointing out, Liverpool women have beat United. Good weekend. Massive. All around. Absolutely. Archie Doolin says, the Wolves game will be so amazing. We'll forget this season. Proud to be a Liverpool fan. Our fans are the best in the world. Fact, Klopp's the boss and a legend. There is one home game to go. And I'm going to go rapid fire through all your quotes here, Ashley. Klopp on Salah. Mo was absolutely outstanding. Klopp, again, in high performance, you need a spark. I would say 3 points is enough. And the boys thought that Anfield was a special place today. I felt that from before the game. The you'll never walk alone. There was more than enough flags. Well done today, Anfield. Klopp says, we were 4-0 up. I made the changes. We lost organization. Yeah. Tottenham showed how good they can be. I was happy with that performance. Klopp goes on to say, I would be lying if I said I was at my highest emotion, but I have another game. In 2 weeks' time is another day. I've said it before. I love absolutely everything about this club. And we love you too, Jurgen. He says, we were pretty good in much areas, pretty much in all areas. Offensively, the passes were good. So many things were good. We stayed calm. I liked your game a lot. The goals were outstanding. About being a Liverpool manager, he says, I never thought about it. It's an exceptional club. It was a win-win situation from the first day. We were lucky. I love every second of it. Oh, my God. He's going to be gone soon. I know. Jarrell Kwanza gets his time in the limelight. He says, when I was younger, I used to struggle when I made a mistake and sort of go under. So in such a big game, I made that error, take the positives from it. And the way that I bounced back from it, managed to see the game out without putting a foot wrong and helping with the goal. I mean, take an absolute bow for that. Jarrell Kwanza, I mean, he's got the awareness, the self-awareness to point that out. But I wanted to say about Ange Postecoglou, about how single-minded he is, about how he refuses to change the way that he approaches things, is exactly how we do things here at the Talking Cop, and being single-minded about our approach for our 2024 charity fundraisers, which are fan-supporting food banks in Liverpool and the Lighthouse Cafe in Dublin. Please, 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 if you can, if you got a few extra dollars, euros, pounds, shekels, whatever you have kicking around that you're willing to share with us, you'll always find the link in any of the podcast descriptions on YouTube, anything like that, the social media for the Talking Cop. We're trying to raise 10,000 euros to split evenly between these two fantastic organizations. They've each gotten 1,000 euros already from us, and they were absolutely over the moon about that, because organizations like Fan Supporting Food Banks and the Lighthouse Cafe that are trying to provide meals for people that are in need of it, they know how to stretch their dollars. So 1,000 euros coming in from some random podcast is manna from the heavens. So we're going to try to do that as well. And get them to their 10,000 euros. And much like large Ange Postecoglou, we are not going to change from our tactic of getting this, just barreling it down your throats. You'll also find Phil Casey's Quest 5 for 5 in there, where he's trying to raise 5,000 euros for the Laura Lynn Hospice in Dublin, which is Dublin's only children's hospice, and an absolutely wonderful campaign to get along with that. So if you can, please, please, please help us out with all that. But Ashley, that was a lovely, lovely, lovely little Sunday of football, wasn't it?
Definitely. More of that, please.
Well, there's not going to be that much more of it.
A little bit more of that, then.
Yeah.
There's going to be one more live post-match show of the season, because we won't be doing a post-match show for the last show.
I thought we'd just let Ashley take it on her own. I did it on my own last season when all you guys went out on the lash in Liverpool and I was here by myself and it was fucking hard. So this year I'm going to Liverpool for the final game and we're going to leave Ashley holding the bag.
I just want to say one thing on the fan supporting food banks. There is one more home game left, and there's, I think Everton have one more home game as well. After that, the money and of donations in large parts dries up for this organization massively. Plus, you're coming into this time of year when kids are home from school for summer holidays. So this is the time when this charity really needs your help. It's going to be when people aren't around Anfield, around Goodison Park, bringing bags of shopping and donating stuff. So any help that you guys can give, I know we keep asking and it sounds like, you know, we're nagging all the time, but this is the one time of year where it is really, really important. So any help that could be given is really, really going to go a long way, especially at this time of year, because hopefully we can get another 1,000 euro each before the summer holidays kick in, and that'll help this charity out an awful lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely beautifully put, Kev, that anybody that goes to the matches in Liverpool knows about. I've been twice, and I've seen the fan supporting food banks donations. Now, naturally, when you're coming from overseas, you're not bringing a bag full. Yeah, I'm not bringing a carry-on full of canned goods to donate to the fan supporting food banks, but I definitely threw some cash in there for them to help out. So, yeah, this is a charity we picked. If you know anything about the Talking Cop, this is something that we do. We always raise money for charities and stuff like that. But, yeah, Eunice is all excited for the summer already. We got two more games, Eunice. We got two more games. We got away to Aston Villa on Monday, and then the final game of the season at home to Wolverhampton Wanderers. But without any question of doubt, it is summertime. Summertime is just around the corner. The Canadian holiday marking the start of summer happened last night. Ashley, you're not a hockey fan, but I would like to give a thanks to the entire city of Boston and their sporting community for knocking out the Toronto Maple Leafs. The rest of Canada thanks you that are not Toronto Maple Leafs fans. It is now officially summer in Canada. The leaves fall to signal the end of summer, and then the Leafs fall to signal the end of winter in Canada. And that's the way that it goes. I absolutely despise the Toronto Maple Leafs. I wish them nothing. And now I can cheer against the Boston Bruins because they're also an absolute gang of pure and utter garbage. But that has nothing to do with this because guess what? It finished in Anfield. Liverpool 4, Tottenham Hotspur 2. A modicum of revenge following the absolute bar debacle that happened at the Tottenham Hotspur Cheese Platter Stadium earlier in this season. But we got two games left, folks. We got two games left. One more of these shows to go. Thank you very much, Ashley, for joining me. Thank you very much again, Kev, for joining me. Happy birthday to Mr. Chris Brack, who had one of the best sporting football weekends you could possibly hope for, with both the Liverpool men and the Liverpool women winning, the Liverpool women beating the dreaded Manchester United as well, too, which is absolutely fantastic. 2 hours, check on back out on the channel. Gab's going to be here for the Sunday night show with the lads. They'll go through it all over again and talk about everything in the big picture. Thanks for joining us, folks. See you after the next match. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.